Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hyperconscious Podcast. Alan, what is Hyperconscious?
Once you understand why something is the way that it is, now you have the power to change it. Great conversations with great people and great questions are the keys to the kingdom of unlocking your consciousness.
Every single action that you do starts as a thought. When you control the way you think, you will control the way you act, and you will control the way you live. That is hyperconscious. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hyperconscious Podcast is proudly sponsored by our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast. He was kind enough to join us on episode 144 and 135.
Folks, it has become Kevin and I's mission in life to help you realize that the life of your dreams is right on the other side of you becoming the greatest version of yourself. Let us help you do that.
I rarely do these things twice in such a short amount of time, but you guys impress me. I believe in people that provide value and of our service. You two guys are on your way to huge fulfillment, purpose, and profitability, and I look forward to helping you both.
We appreciate that more than you know. And gentlemen, welcome back to another, see how I switched up a little bit? Very special, as always, episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our latest episode where Alan and I sat down and talked to you about self-care and why it is important to take care of yourself so you can then help others. Today, for episode number 237, we are going to do Scratching the Surface on Hyperconscious Leadership. I am fired up because I'm coming off a nap.
Leadership is one of my favorite topics ever of all time. Hyperconscious leadership is even more awesome. Before we jump into hyperconscious leadership, you know what I'm going to ask you? I'm going to ask you to go to the www.thehyperconsciouspodcast.com. Click on join hashtag hyperconscious nation. Folks, the dramatic reading that I'm going to be reading on this episode I posted only for hyperconscious nation and listeners of this podcast. It was from the heart and it's powerful. If you want to be a part of a like-minded community that is chasing goals and dreams, if you know you are capable of more, if you want more out of life, you cannot do it alone. That's what this episode's about. Leadership, knowing everything is about the team. Come and be a part of our team.
My goodness. And ladies and gentlemen, I am in love with podcasting. So if you are looking to start your own so you can scale your impact or your business or get next-level relationships, that's one of the biggest takeaways that we've had. We're good friends with Dave Meltzer and Evan Carmichael and Eddie Panero and Mark Metry, Kim
Anthony
and Spike
Trucks.
Spencer, Anthony Trucks. So that all is because of this podcast. So if you are looking to start your own podcast and you want some of the behind-the-scenes things that we have done to grow ours, I am your guy. I would love to help you. Let's get into the episode.
Hyperconscious leadership. So Kevin,
I have a question first.
Yeah.
What is leadership to you? And as I gently caress his shoulder, what is it? What is the difference between leadership and hyperconscious leadership?
That's a fire question. I think leadership is influence. Anyone that you have influence over. So I remember being at dinner with a close friend of ours, and I remember asking her, like, who has your attention is actually controlling your life? And this person that she loves most in the world, I asked her, who do you love most in the world? Picture that person in your mind. How often do you think of that person? She said, all day, every day. I said, that person is influencing you more than anyone else. I said, how often do you think of me? And I said, this isn't an ego thing. I'm just curious. She said, maybe 15 to 20 times. I said, okay, I'm also influencing you. My example. So to me, leadership is having influence over another person, whether it's conscious or subconscious. Hyperconscious leadership is being acutely aware of the effect you are having on others.
John Maxwell, I listen to a lot of his stuff, and he's very big into leadership. Darren Hardy, I know, is one of your favorites. He's big into leadership as well. How do you flex your leadership muscle, and how do you know whether or not you're a good leader?
So the first step in leadership, I think, is acknowledging that you are a leader. I think it needs to be part of your identity. Shout out to Anthony Trucks, the Aw Shift, all about identity. So as soon as you start to see yourself as a leader, you will start to pick up on the effect you're having on others. And I think that that's the first step. Jeez. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
How do you flex and strengthen your leadership muscle, and how do you know if you're a good leader?
I think it comes down to the PMES system, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. I think developing yourself as the human you aspire to be and being the change that you wish to see in the world. So, for example, one of the things that's always bothered me, I think the root cause of all human problems are either ignorance or apathy. Either you don't know any better or you don't care or some combination of both. So my mission in leadership is to be the most aware. You know, awareness is the opposite of ignorance. Ignorance is not knowing. Awareness is knowing. And then caring, right? I always say the hardest workers with the biggest hearts. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the antidote to apathy is caring. The antidote to ignorance is knowledge and awareness. And so I'm always living and breathing from that place and trying to be an example of that, because I know that will rub off on those in my, what I call, a vortex of influence.
How do you know you're a good leader? Or how do you know? Because you're never really going to get, I mean, you might, but how often are you going to get a pat on the back that says, hey, you're a really good leader? I think some of the best leaders lead so well that others just, they don't follow, but they're motivated, they're inspired, and they go along with what that person does because it's kind of a reflection of what they want. So how do you actually know whether or not you're doing a great job as a leader?
That is a great question, man. This is fire. So I think...
Freestyling.
Killing it.
Freestyling.
Killing it. Noticing the impact. So I'll give you an example. So I used to struggle with alcohol. And if my goal is to be the best leader I can be for those in my life, and I honestly think, you know, whatever your views on alcohol are is fine, but I genuinely think that alcohol is not a positive in almost anyone's life, especially if they have an addiction to it, conscious or unconscious. So one of the things that I want to lead by example of, if I'm a perpetuant, if I'm an example of health, okay, physical health, the pillar, sleep, hydration, nutrition, training, and mobility, fitness coach, I can't be out drinking regularly because then I'm going to be leading in the wrong way based on my beliefs. So I think that being a good leader and knowing that you're a good leader is being hyper-conscious of the actions you're taking and then witnessing that rubbing off on people, even though you might be the only one to know it.
Mm.
So for example, okay, I've noticed, and I'll just say this, so my family drinks a lot less than they used to because I do. I had to be aware of the fact that I'm rubbing off on them. My mom's down 18 pounds.
Nice.
Yeah, which is huge. And honestly, that's the benefit of leadership anyway. So I'm, you know, quote-unquote fitness coach. Yeah, that's real cool, Alan. I don't care about that. I care about the fact that my mom now is losing 18 pounds and I can tell she's happier. That to me, is everything. So I think leadership is being more excited for other people's success than you are for your own, but knowing that it's tied to your own.
Hmm. Can be an interesting... Do you get fulfillment or significance from seeing people that you feel like you're leading succeed?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, absolutely. This is very different. This is very different than what we normally do. I'm in the hyperconscious gauntlet right now. Yeah, so... nothing fulfills me more than seeing someone that I've helped achieve what they believe in. As long as it's something that is congruent with what I think should be perpetuated in the world. So, for example, let's say, so you and I want to speak more,
mm-hmm.
right? As a matter of fact, we're speaking soon at Mass Maritime. Okay.
November 4th.
Let's say a cigarette company hit us up and asked us to speak, and they were going to pay us $5,000. In a heartbeat, I would say no. I would actually probably say fuck no. Pardon my French. But in my mind, that's what I would say, because I don't want to perpetuate something that I don't think is at the service of others. I think cigarette companies are at the detriment of other people's health. I stand for health. Therefore, I cannot stand for cigarettes, period, because I'm aware that cigarettes are bad. So all of this is predicated on your level of awareness. You can only be as good of a leader as you are aware of the human condition, aware of yourself, aware of your own beliefs, who you aspire to be, and aware of your effect on others. And a lot of times your effect on others won't get seen until like way later. So at Your World Within Live, for example, when you were on stage saying that you wouldn't be who you are today without me, I those moments for me lock it in. Like, that is my why. That is why I'm playing. Mastery, impact, and money. Money is third. Mastery is first. So mastery for me is being the best leader I can be, knowing as much as I can possibly know, doing as much as I can possibly do, congruent with my highest level of belief and purpose. Impact is my ability to serve others with that mastery. And then money is third, to make sure that I can reinvest that money into more mastery and more impact.
So this is interesting. I enjoy this. So say, again, this podcast is all about you if you're listening or watching. Say somebody is watching or listening right now and is thinking to themselves, well, I don't really, A, care about being a leader, or B, know how to be a leader, because I'm not trying to start a business. I'm not trying to be an influencer. I'm not trying to be a podcaster or a speaker. What would you say to them about that, your view of that, and how can they become better leaders in their own life?
Leading by example is absolutely everything. I always think of the snow dog. So having a vision as well. Okay, so Temet Noske.
Ha ha, know thyself.
Know thyself. How well do you know what you believe in? I always say courageously fight for what you believe in, and then love as fiercely as possible. So I think the fighting for what you believe in is personal development, and that's predicated on knowing who you must become, who you aspire to become. And then how are you going to serve the world with that leadership? So for you, if you don't have a business, maybe you have children. And then maybe one day your children will have children. So understand that, like, you matter far more than you can possibly fathom in this moment. So for example, when I asked my friend across the table, who's the person you care about most in the world in terms of your love, she thinks of that person. I want you out there, if you're listening right now, to think of the person that you love most in the world. Okay, picture that person. That person has so much influence over your actions, so much more than you think. We're very social creatures. I'm reading a book by Robert Greene right now called The Laws of Human Nature. It is human nature to be influenced by people more than things, more than money, more than shiny objects. It's people. Okay, so whether you think you're a leader or not, you are a leader. You are affecting those around you. The question is, in what way, and what vehicles are you using to amplify that? So with this podcast, Kevin is leading every single one of you right now. I am leading every single one of you right now because I have your attention. What has your attention controls your life. And the things that have your attention are most likely the things that have your heart, because most of us are emotionally driven. So who has your emotional well-being? So Taryn leads Kevin, because Taryn has Kevin's heart.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin leads Taryn because Kevin has Taryn's heart. So being acutely aware of who values you, who values what you stand for, and then making sure, honestly, dude, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is living for ourselves, because I think Tony always says this, Tony Robbins. He says, the secret to living is giving. As soon as you connect your daily actions to the person you love most and beyond that, you will do more for others than you will ever do for yourself. And as long as you connect, doing something for me is actually good for others, you're going to be 10 times more motivated.
I was putting together my Mass Maritime speech today, presentation, and one of the things I have written in there, and I don't know how I'm going to intertwine this yet, but it's not what you do, it's who you become.
Right.
I firmly believe that. It's not, I don't do personal development every morning. I am that person. Right. I am the person who does that. So I resonated very highly with that. So you this is interesting.
Right.
It feels like an old school episode. I like it. I think that for you, you've been studying leadership a lot longer than I have. So when we talk about vulnerability or relationships, you kick it to me. And when it comes to things like this or how to Jeff it, we go to you.
Oh, perfect.
And
right.
we're gonna go to you. So you gave us a good example of one of the times where you felt like you were a good leader with your mom losing weight because you are healthier and you're drinking less. Can you give us, this is fun for me, can you give us a couple times where you didn't do a good job and you were a poor leader, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. yep, several of those. Where I was a poor leader. I would argue that my last relationship failed in large part because of my poor leadership. You can only lead as well as you are aware of your effect on others. And the amount that you empathize with their current state and their goals, desires, dreams, and ambitions. So if you don't know what someone else values and you're always looking at the world through your own frame of reference and not putting yourself in their shoes, you don't understand the full effect you're having on them. You're assuming that the things you're doing, you're assuming she or he is affected by things in the way that you are. So you cannot lead someone or influence someone unless you know what already influences them. So I'll give you an example. So I remember when I first started getting in shape, and I had a beautiful girlfriend, and I had a life designed on my own terms. Kevin started asking me questions about...
I want those things.
Personal development, right. Why? Because I had what he valued. At the time, he valued beautiful women. He valued life of freedom, which he didn't have at the time because he was working for that job. Mm-hmm. And he valued being in shape.
Think Ty Lopez, guys. He put the pictures of the Ferraris and Lamborghinis up and then told you to read. He showed you what you valued, and then he taught you how to get... He Miyagi'd you.
Exactly. So if you don't know, I actually told, I'll try to get vulnerable here. My last relationship, I don't think I fully understood. I don't think my awareness of how she viewed the world and what she cares about was quite as high as it needed to be. So my actions needed to be a certain way in order to become the man that I aspire to be. But it was really difficult for me to prioritize who I must be. So you know how Kevin said in this episode earlier, he said, what you do is, or who you become is more important than what you do. Here's the problem though. You become what you do. Mm. So what you create creates you. So every single day, Kevin wakes up and does personal development. Then he becomes someone, an identity who embodies personal development. Anthony Truex says that your identity is who you are when you're not thinking about who you are. So personal development is automatic for Kevin. At one point, personal development was something that he had to force. He had to really try and strive to do. Now it's what he just does when he's not even thinking. And success becomes second nature when you embody it for long enough. So as a leader, I don't think I did a very good job of understanding where someone else was versus me in terms of personal development and in terms of awareness. I'll give you another example. So we're working with Amy on the hyperconscious team.
Yes. OG Amy.
I am naturally at a high run rate of productivity where I'm consistently trying to level this team up. But if I'm not aware of where she is on the comfort zone, learning zone, or panic zone, I might dump too much on her plate without knowing that just because it's easy for me to squat this weight, proverbially, that maybe that she's new to this. So if you have people in your life that are reacting to you in a negative way, it's most likely because of your poor leadership on some level. And I take full responsibility for that. I think another thing of leadership that's just popped up, everything is your fault.
Mm.
Okay. Now, the reason I say that is everything you think, everything you feel, everything you do, and everything you don't think, do, feel is all your fault. Now, that sounds hardcore at first, but if you really understand, now you have the power to actually make a change. So, for example, if my last relationship was all her fault and not mine, there's nothing I can do to learn from it. I'm looking at what I did wrong, and I'm making the changes necessary. If I was more acutely aware of her needs, her desires, her dreams and ambitions, if I was more willing to be vulnerable and have those conversations, if I was more aware of whether she was in the comfort zone, learning zone, or anxiety zone, I would have been a far more effective partner and a far more effective leader. And I had to learn those lessons the hard way, and I hope that this episode helps you not have to do that.
This is easy for me. I just ask a question and just sit back, lounge up, grab a Coca-Cola on the rocks with a straw.
On the rocks.
I've been watching a lot of Simon Sinek lately. I'm actually going to see him. Taryn got us tickets to go see him in New York.
It's awesome.
March 3rd, if I am thinking correctly. So he talks a lot about businesses and how leadership is changing.
Yes.
And you kind of have to know what, and you mentioned this, you referenced this, you kind of have to know what people want in order to lead them correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize this, but number five on the list is money.
Right. I don't remember. One of them was being part of something. One of them was feeling important, I think.
Growth was one of them.
Yeah. Number five was money.
Yep.
So my tidbit to add to you guys, we still have a couple minutes left, but my tidbit to add to you guys is make sure you're very, very aware, acutely aware, hyper-consciously aware, some would say, on those who you are leading and what they want out of the experience, the job, the business, whatever it is, because you will be able to lead them far better if you understand their values, their core values, and what they want out of the relationship, basically. He says.
If you want to be a better leader, I want you to live by that example so much, in fact, that you become a magnet for everyone else who values that, and then they are going to come to you to ask for help. And when they come to you to ask for help, they are now open to being taught. And then you can really, really serve. But you cannot give someone else what you do not first have. If you don't have love for self, you can't give love. If you don't have self-discipline, you can't help someone else be more disciplined. If you don't have money, you can't teach someone else how to make money. So you must master it first. I think that's why the formula for me, for leadership and for life and the human condition, is mastery, impact, and money. Because you need all three of those in order to be someone who is growing individually, mastery, serving the world in the way they need, impact, and then making money to sustain those two things.
I remember I was thinking of this recently, actually, when I got out of the job I was at and I started learning about personal development and actual business dynamics and leadership, I realized, and I'm not bad-mouthing them by any means, but I realized how badly that company was run.
Oh, yeah, man.
From a leadership standpoint, where one of the things they used to say to us all the time, and when I say, I kind of mean threaten, is just so you know, there is a line of people who want to get paid what you are doing to do what you do. Little did they know that to a lot of us, it wasn't about the money, necessarily.
Right.
It wasn't about that. It was about at first, it was a mom-and-pop business who everybody knew everybody. You could talk to anybody. You knew about each other's family. It was personal. And then as it grew, that changed a little bit. But also, leaders lead from the front, not the back.
100%.
And Darren Hardy made that. If you try to push a string, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
But if you pull a string, it stays straight, and everything behind it comes with it.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I learned very quickly, that just because you have a business that might be successful,
right,
does not mean you are a good leader of that business.
Right.
You will know in time, because if what you're doing is repeatable and sustainable and you can keep the people you have and they remain happy, that is one of the things I learned so quickly. Having 10 employees who are not happy is a recipe for disaster. Your success will be short-lived. If you have 3 employees who are super happy, you will be more productive and successful.
100%. 100%.
So I just wanted to add that.
Kevin just made an awesome point of a huge distinction. When they said, just so you know, there's a line out the door to come work,
right,
that is leadership by fear.
Right, exactly.
Not by love. So you can lead in fear or in love. And as a matter of fact, when you asked me one of the poor things I did, in my last relationship, there were times when I would lead by fear. In other words, I would threaten the relationship if things didn't change. That is on me, and that is poor leadership. And I take full responsibility for that. If you're in a relationship, if you're in a friendship, if you're in a business colleague relationship, business partner, any of that, don't lead with fear. If you're leading with fear, you might get results, but they're short term.
Yeah.
You're going to break the relationship in an effort to get a result, and that is always a micro win for a macro loss. The other thing I wanted to say, if you want to be a leader, really, truly, you need to have other people's best interest at heart, regardless of yourself. I'm going to say that again. You need to have other people's best interest at heart, regardless of yourself. For me, the leadership question is this. This is the hyper-conscious leadership question. I'm going to call it the conscious leadership question until Kevin signs off on it. Can I consistently and sustainably help others achieve more of what they want and enjoy the process?
Signed off.
Okay, hyper-conscious leadership. Can I consistently and sustainably help others produce the outcomes they want and help them enjoy the process? If the answer is yes, you are doing a great job. Where is that answer no, though? And if that answer is no in any areas, even with yourself, am I consistently and sustainably producing the outcomes that I want and enjoying the process? If that's not a yes first, don't even go to the second one yet. You got to work on yourself.
Fire.
Ah.
Fire. All right. Dramatic reading time. I just want to give a shout out to two of my clients. Since we're talking about leadership,
one of my goals, and Alan, I got this mostly from Alan, is to lead other leaders, and I'm trying to help people do that. So two of my clients are very soon quitting their current jobs and getting into something that is going to help them get in more alignment with their ultimate goal, their passion, their purpose, and what they love. So I just wanted to give a shout out to them and congratulate them.
Congratulations. Let's go.
1 minute and 40 seconds. Hammer it.
All right. Dramatic reading time. I wrote this last night, late night. This is very something that I felt very, very passionate about. And I shared it in Hyperconscious Nation, and I want to share it with all of
you. 1 minute
and
28 seconds.
Okay, here we go. I had a breakthrough at Brendan's event last week that I wanted to share. I wrote down the following quote, and it was one of those big emotional aha truths for me. It was a very emotional event. Here's the quote. The key to success is being willing to, at first, be perceived as a massive failure. Name one hero who wasn't at one point called an idiot, a loser, crazy. In Hyperconscious Nation, we believe in dreams, and we don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out our willingness to try, fail forward, learn, and grow. I was made fun of for quitting my job without another income. I was made fun of for calling myself a bodybuilder when I was a lanky, 160-pound, skinny alcoholic. I was made fun of for calling myself a model before I'd ever done a photo shoot. I was made fun of for calling myself a speaker before I'd ever been paid to speak. I was made fun of for calling myself a fitness coach without any degree or certifications. I was made fun of for calling myself a podcaster when I only had two or three episodes with terrible audio quality.
Oh, it's terrible.
This is before the Hyperconscious podcast. Conversations change lives when they're hyperconscious. I'll never forget many years ago when I decided to literally start gauging my success based on how much hate I got from closed-minded people. I used two specific people and their hate as a barometer for my own success. These two individuals will forever remain anonymous, but I can tell you from experience that this tactic worked like a charm. Whatever you're afraid to do because you're afraid to get judged, laughed at, or gossiped about, go do it. I am so incredibly grateful that I didn't let their negative opinions of me win. And I'm so incredibly grateful for those who really did support me through the dark. And I'm also so incredibly grateful for each and every one of you, speaking to Hyperconscious Nation, speaking to anyone listening right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this hyperconscious journey. It has been a wild ride, and we are just getting started. We love and support you more than you know. Keep going, no matter what anyone else has to say about it. They'll see what's been growing beneath the surface all this time eventually, and it will be glorious. Hardest workers with the biggest hearts, with love, Alan.
Fire. Fire. I dig that. I dig that. That was good. That was. I can see you saying that on stage one day, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah, I can see that on stage.
Thank you, brother.
What are we going to... Who do we want to release after this? We didn't decide that.
Ah! Did we release Brant already?
Yes.
We have... What are the options? Dr. Nikki, Anthony Trucks.
Grant Parr.
Probably Grant.
Grant Parr.
Oh, you're
yeah, no, well. I'm all about it. Ladies and gentlemen, after this, you are going to hear us record. We recorded an episode with Grant Parr. He is a performance coach and a sports psychologist. I got to ask him what visualizations actually do. I can butcher that question. I promise in the episode I asked better than that. But he is fire. He's coached next level athletes and he helps them get their mind right. And he also has a very, very powerful story. Hammer it because the camera's going to turn off.
Oh, I like Grant a lot. This was a super powerful episode. When you talk about the psychology of performance and getting better, he's very clearly unbelievable. Don't miss that episode.
Yeah, do not miss it. It was fire, and we hope you will. Enjoy.
Talk soon.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening to another episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast.
Going hyperconscious will absolutely change your life because if you understand why something is the way it is, now you have the power to change it. If you going hyperconscious with us has changed your life in any way, please share this episode with one of your friends because the more people that go hyperconscious, the better this world's going to be for everybody.
And if you would kindly leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help us make more people hyperconscious and we would be greatly appreciative.
Thank you.
Bye.